Turn with me to Samuel, 1 Samuel, and I got some things on my heart that I really want to talk about tonight. David got in real trouble. There's a lot of trouble lately, lots of trouble. Sometimes we have a lot of trouble. In fact, God said in the book of Job said, this man that's born a woman in a few days and full of troubles. Sometimes we bring them on ourselves. Not always. We don't always bring them on ourselves, but sometimes we do. But God can get us out of jams that nobody else can get us out of. We can get in jams sometimes so deep that nobody can get you out of it. I remember something one time that Herman Hooksema, who's a professor in the Protestant Reformed Church, they have their seminaries, and he made a statement one time about Jay Adams, and I appreciate what he said because he liked Jay Adams a whole lot. I like Jay Adams because he's a biblical counselor. He always recommends that you use the scriptures and scriptural principles when you counsel people. So I like him a lot, and so does Hanko. I mean, I said Hooksema's Hanko, Professor Herman Hanko. But he said one time about Jay Adams, and I really appreciate this. He said, I like Jay Adams a whole lot. So he's been a real blessing to the Christian community. But he said he's not always right from this standpoint, that he got pat answers. And he said sometimes, and sin is such a tremendous thing, such a great, deep web we can get into, that there's no answers at all except just God has to get you out of the mess. I believe he's right about that. I've lived long enough to see that. Sometimes we can even get ourselves in so deep that no way we can get out of it. But God's so merciful, and I'm not saying, and you know I'm not saying, I never have said this, let us sin that grace may abound. Nobody in their right mind is going to say that. Nobody that believes the Bible is going to say, let us sin that grace may abound. But the point is, we still may sometimes our foolishness get into such a deep mess, we can't get out of it, but God can. And I want to show you tonight, in the 1 Samuel chapter 27, I want to talk about 26. I'm going to go through several chapters, not read the whole chapter, but read some portions. In 26, it's amazing what happens. You know, our emotions are funny. So you think David would really be on a high right now in the 27th chapter. He just got through delivered out of a tremendous, you know, he's after Saul's after him. I can't imagine what it would be like for somebody to be after me, to try to kill me. Nobody that I know of has ever done that. There may be some people who've done it I didn't know about. But somebody just totally, I mean, he's had to run for his life for a long, long time. But God gave him a tremendous deliverance. And so one of those deliverances is in the 26th chapter of 1 Samuel. And what happened there was God delivered his enemy into his hand. Here, Saul is insanely trying to kill David. And what God did, he caused his enemies, Saul and the general, to have a supernaturally deep sleep. And so David could have killed him easily. In fact, his general suggested he kill Saul while he could do so. And David said, I'm not going to lift up my hand against the Lord's anointing. But he did, later on, get up on the hillside and holler down at that general and at Saul. And, you know, he kind of ridiculed him. Because he said, you know, what's wrong with y'all? The general, couldn't you even guard your leader, your sleep here? But the point is that God had just delivered David. And sometimes God delivered. So you'd think David would be on a high, wouldn't you? He's just on a high. But you know, sometimes when we're fighting the good fight of faith, we can get weary. You know that? And our emotions are funny. And you think, this is amazing to think about this. So right after this tremendous deliverance, God had proved again, David, I can take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to let Saul get you. I delivered him in your hand. You could have killed him, but you wouldn't lift your hand against the Lord's anointing. So you'd think that he'd be strong. So I'm saying when we have a triumph, we need to be careful. When we have defeats, we need to be careful. But also when we have triumphs, we need to be careful. In fact, Elijah had the same experience, by the way. I'll just mention that. Elijah, right after, if you remember, he had had his tremendous triumph on Mount Carmel. And right after that, he went, you know, God had delivered those priests, 450 priests he had killed. And then Jezebel gives a threat against him, and he takes off to the wilderness. He said, God forsaken me. I'm alone. I'm the only one left. And they're after me. And he went into just a despair. It's amazing, isn't it? Right after God had given a mighty deliverance, he went into despair. So I don't understand all that. I just know that I don't understand myself. You don't either. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and definitely wicked. Who can know them? So we don't even know our own emotions. But the point is, again, he just had this incredible deliverance. Incredible deliverance. And Saul even confessed his sin and said, you're a better man than I am. And then look what happened. David did something foolish. And when we fear man, we're going to do something foolish. When we fear either man or circumstances, we're going to make some bad mistakes. And I do that. I fear man sometimes. I fear circumstances sometimes. It's a constant battle. So here he is fearing man and fearing circumstances. And look what he did. He did something just absolutely foolish and sinful. And sinful. In the 27th chapter of 1 Samuel. Now right after this deliverance, right after this great time when God had delivered Saul to his hand, right after that, I want to emphasize that. You think, man, he's going to be so strong right now. He's going to have so much confidence in God. Lord, you're with me. I know you're with me, Lord. But look what he said in the 27th chapter. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day. This is the 27th chapter, verse 1, 1 Samuel. And David said in his heart, I will now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. Isn't that unbelievable? He said, I'm going to go to the camp of the enemy. If I go to the camp of the enemy, then Saul won't even look for me over there anymore. And so sure enough, he did that. Isn't that amazing? What a solution. I'm going to get the pressure off. You know, sometimes we want to get out from underneath the pressure. That's not always the thing we ought to do. I remember one time that I won't go into any detail about this, but I just want to talk about getting pressure off. It's not always good to get pressure off. Sometimes we have to have some relief, but sometimes we just think we have some relief to get the wrong way. They got relief the wrong way here. I remember one time I had some people who were kind of after me about some things I stood for that were right. And so one time a man actually called me down to his house and just gave me a pretty good chewing out. And so I compromised. I didn't think I compromised when I did. I said something. I said, well, I'll do something. I said, I won't tell you. There's something I'll do or I won't do. And I felt the most incredible sense of relief. I felt great. I just was euphoric on the way home. The pressure was off. I was just happy as a lark. And I went on a trip right after that. And while I was on that trip, driving the next day, I got a horrified feeling. I have messed up. I have really messed up. The reason that our pressure is off is because I compromised. And I fooled myself into thinking I hadn't compromised. You know, we could rationalize to get pressure off. So I thought, and I remember I said, I got to go back home and reverse what I did. And I did. I went home, and the Lord gave me some courage. And I took back my compromise. But the point I'm making is, just because you have a feeling of relief doesn't always mean God's in the matter. It may be that I've just kind of got out from under pressure the wrong way. In fact, the word endurance in the Bible, patience is the word that's translated in the New Testament, is hupomene. It means to remain under. To remain under. Patience is remaining under things that God places on us and not getting out in an illegitimate way. Now, there may be a way out, all right, but it will not be an illegitimate way. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will make a way to escape if we are able to bear it. You know, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it? So there are some legitimate escape routes, but there are no illegitimate escape routes. So David took an illegitimate escape route and probably felt pretty good for a while. So the pressure's off. Saul's not going to try to kill him. He's free from Saul right now. So here in verse 2 now, and David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him, and to Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath, a Philistine prince, one of the enemies of God's people. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man of his household, even David with two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. So then David had respite. But then, you know what? When we do something that's not right, we cannot imagine the consequences. We cannot imagine the consequences. We're not smart enough to see the consequences. God is. I'm just telling you, we need to be obedient to God, don't we? Because we may think that we're going to kind of work things around, but the consequences of disobeying God's word are horrendous. And they're just unbelievable. We can't imagine how bad they are. But the devil's always trying to fool us. He's always trying to make us do something that's pleasurable, that's an illegitimate pleasure. And so what happens is, I can't imagine a worse situation that David found himself into, and he can't get out of it. There's no way to get out of this. God got him out of this. Let's look at what happened. Let's skip down to the 28th chapter. I won't read the rest of that in the 27th chapter. Now, this is, you think about this. This is absolutely unbelievable what he got himself into. Look at verse 1 of the 28th chapter. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. Now, here the Philistines are going to fight the people of God, David's own people. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou surely that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. You're going to have to fight with us. In other words, he's going to be fighting his own people. How do you think he felt inside? I don't know. I bet he felt sick inside. I suspect he felt pretty sick. What have I gotten myself into? My. Here I'm going to be fighting my own people. What am I going to do? And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. And so, anyway, they gathered themselves together. And I won't read the rest of that chapter. This is a terrible chapter where Saul actually even went to the witch of Endor. This is 28 chapters. I'm not going to read about that right now. That's a terrible thing indeed. So let's skip the rest of that chapter. And let's go to chapter 29. David, here again, I'll tell you, we can get ourselves in jam. We can't get out of it. I don't know what David thought. I don't know what he thought he was going to do. So in chapter 29, verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by the hundreds and by the thousands. But David and his men passed on the reward with Achish. Now, here's how he got out of it. God got him out of it. And we know God is a sovereign God. He works everything at the account of His own will. And thank the Lord for delivering David. Here's how He got him out of it. Here David is now. He's in the line of battle to go fight his own people. And not knowing how he's going to get out of this, no doubt. Probably perplexed and just actually. I imagine his mind's in a whirl. I've been in a situation before. My mind was just whirled. I didn't know what to do. I was just sick at my stomach, sick at my heart, paralyzed, fearful, afraid. You ever been there? I don't know. Some of y'all may never have these kind of experiences. I hope you never have to have it. You probably will. And I just didn't know, you know, what are you going to do? What in the world are we going to do? What can I do, Lord? I'm pinching myself. I wish I was dead or something. What am I going to do? And thank God, in His wonderful mercy, He delivered him out of this situation. In verse 3, then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which has been with me these days or these years? I have found no fault in him since he fell to me unto this day. And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again into his place, which thou hast appointed him. Let him not go down with us to the battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewithal shall he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be also the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s? These guys said, he's not going to battle with us. These other Philistine kings did. Then Achish called David and said unto him, surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me, and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me, unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the Lord of the Philistines. And then David even protested that. I don't know whether just for cosmetic effect or what. And David said unto Achish, well, what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant, so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go out and fight against the enemies of my lord the king? I suspect he was happy in his heart when he said that. I don't know. I suspect that's just words he's saying, but I don't know. Anyway, he had to go back. All right, we're not through yet, though. David, in verse 11, did go back home. But then when he found another situation he couldn't get out of by himself, a terrible situation. He'd been in one situation, he just got out. God got him out of it. God fixed and get him out of another one. And sometimes when it rains, it pours, as you know. And here's another one. This mess here probably worse than another mess. If we read this, let's read the 30th chapter, a few verses. And I'm going to go down. I've got one verse I want to leave you tonight, and I want to leave this expression in your mind tonight. The whole thing I've got in mind is to leave you with one expression. I hope and pray to God you can take with you and draw some strength from it. That's what I want to do. That's really what I want to do tonight. Let's read down to this expression. Chapter 30. All right, now David's fixed to go back home to where his folks are, his wife and his family and the people like that they had left when they went out to battle. And look what happened. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, went on their way. Now, in other words, everything's burned up. All the people have been taken captive. But you know what I've got to underline in my Bible? What do you think I've got to underline in that verse 2? Here's what I underlined. They slew them not. And you know what I wrote on the side of my Bible? God's providence. Isn't that amazing? Brethren, God controls things to a minute detail. Because in most circumstances, they'd have killed some of those folks, wouldn't they? But they didn't touch one of them, did they? Not a hair of their head. Isn't that wonderful? They took them captive, but they didn't kill one of them, and they slew them not. They slew not any. So David and his men came to the city, and you can imagine how these men felt. Now, they've been out there away a while, and they come home, and their families are gone. Everything they got burned up, it looks like. They may never see their families again. They don't know what's going on. They didn't know that none had been slain. They thought maybe they all did. I don't know what they thought. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. They had no more power to weep. I don't know whether you hear a cry like that or not. I've done a lot of crying in my life. I don't think I've ever cried quite that hard. Sometimes when I've lost a loved one or something really tragic has happened, I know what it is to do some pretty deep crying. Some of you do also. But I never have cried that hard. I just no more power to weep. They were sad. They were brokenhearted. They were grieved. They were mourning. This is deep, deep stuff. They were in trouble. Big trouble. But there's still, this is not all for David's trouble, though. And David's two wives were taken captive, Hannah Am the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. And look why. The people spake of stoning him. His own people turned against him. He's the leader. He's the one who has, they're blaming this on. It kind of reminds me of Moses. Sometimes the people of Israel, on more than one occasion, they got really mad at Moses and blamed him for all their troubles. And said, why did we let him bring us out of Egypt? There's flesh pots in Egypt. So he had some trouble too, didn't he? But can you imagine David? Now, David's a mess. He don't know what's going on. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now, this is the expression that I want to leave with you. I'm going to read a few verses below here, because I want to show you how God got him out of this. But this is the expression I want to give you tonight. But David encouraged himself, the Lord his God. I want to leave that one with you. David encouraged himself. He didn't know what to do. But he encouraged himself. And my friend, we can always do that. When we can't think straight, when we're just paralyzed with fear, paralyzed with dread, paralyzed with apprehension, paralyzed with we don't know what we're going to do. We're perplexed. And what are we going to do? Encourage our heart in the Lord. God, as long as you're on the throne, and you will always be, there's a solution, God. There's a solution. I'm telling you, the devil will do everything he can to just paralyze us totally and get us where we're just distracted, just totally distracted. And then we may either do nothing or just something foolish. Now, then when he did do this, he did something. You know, we all do what we can do. Sometimes we can do something. Sometimes there's nothing we can do, but sometimes there's some things we can do. So when David did get his mind cleared, he did something. Let's read about that. But see, first of all, though, before he's even able to do anything, he encouraged his heart in the Lord. So that's the most important thing. I want to leave you that. That's the expression I want to leave you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Then let's see what happens. He starts to talking to God then. He starts doing some real talking to God. Here's the way they inquired of God in those days. They had a way that we don't have, which our way is superior, really. But here's how they did in those days. And David said to Abiathar, the priest. See, he's doing something now. He's not paralyzed. He'd encourage his heart in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod, which was some kind of a garment that they had. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And they had a way, I think the Urim and the Thummim was in this ephod. I think this was correct. And it was some kind of a way they had of telling what the mind of the Lord was. The priest had that way of telling that. And so we got to inquire of God in prayer, what we do. We don't have an ephod today, but we got prayer. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And I'll read a little bit more of this, because we got this little bit of time. Let's read just a little bit more of this. So God said, you're going to win. But then David did what God, he didn't just trust God's sovereignty, because God didn't say, I'm going to get them. He's talking about you to get them. So sometimes God uses means. So David went, and I'm going to show you even providence how God even blessed this. He had every time, I'll just say God provided every step of the way. It's just so encouraging. So David went. See, my friend, if we take one step, then God will show us the next step. Sometimes we can just take one step, just do the next thing. Live with Eliel. Always used to say, I like to live with Eliel a whole lot, because she suffered a lot. So she had a pretty deep walk with God. She said, just do the next thing. Sometimes all you can do, just the next thing. Just do the right next thing. And that's what David did. He took the right next thing. Then God showed him other ways that he was going to bless him. That's what he's doing right here. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. And look at what God did. And he had prodded, he even left an Egyptian out there that knew the way that those people went. Isn't that something? And he had all prodded. God did this. So another token along the way that God blessing him. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. They made him drink water. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. When he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread and nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the coast of south of Caleb, we burned Ziklag with fire. David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? He said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. I will bring thee down to this company. Isn't that something? God even provided a guide for him. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines, out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even into the evening of the next day. There escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And get this, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, nor spoil, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. They had recovered all. I bet you David right there would say, I believe in Ephesians 3.20, even though Ephesians 3.20 hadn't been written yet. I bet he'd say, now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all, I'm able to ask or think, according to the power that works in me. He would never dream his fondest imagination that it would be this way, would it? Everything he recovered. Isn't that amazing? Everything. Brethren, sometimes it looks dark. It looks dark. Literally dark. But it's not as dark as we think it is. You know that? Isn't that wonderful? So let's remember, we got a God to trust in. That would keep him in perfect peace. Your mind has stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. But the devil did everything he can to distract our peace. He called us to fear circumstances and people. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. So he really came out better than he went in because they had taken other people. He got that also. But I want to keep going because David also exercised some wisdom. Then we'll quit here in just a minute. I want to go down to verse 24 and we're going to quit. But David still had to exercise some wisdom even in the situation. There's lots of good lessons here. And David came to the 200 men. That's the men who had been so faint they couldn't go. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. They went forth to meet David, to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. Now here's some, he has some bad guys with him. He has some guys that their hearts weren't right, some of the 400 men. And they weren't going to react right to these 200 men who stayed behind because they were tired. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. And instead of being thankful, these guys should all have been shouting and praying. Brethren, we ought to remember this too. You know, we've got to be merciful to each other. And we ought to be thankful for God's blessings. And so these guys, I can't believe what these guys did here. The Bible said they're wicked men. But here, them, instead of just being ecstatic on what God had done, they're going to fuss at their brothers who stayed behind. We've got to be really careful. We need to thank God for our blessings. Then after all the wicked men and men of Belial, those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them all of the spoil we have recovered. We're not going to give them any of the spoil that we've got here. Save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. And I like David's leadership. Brother, he got tough and he got to be a good leader here. Then said David, ye shall not do so. Nothing doing, boys. Ain't going to do it. He stood his ground and a resolute leader. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us, see his rationale? Don't you guys know God delivered us? He's the one who preserved us? What's wrong with y'all? Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that teareth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance of Israel to this day. Isn't that wonderful? So he exercised good leadership. But the expression I want to leave with you, if you don't remember one expression, especially, remember 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, when the situation seems impossible, and it will be an impossible situation to come to our lives. But David encouraged himself, the Lord his God. Let's remember that one.